So I'm Ephraim Shapiro. I'm going to be presenting on behalf of two co-authors on the relationship between religiosity and healthcare utilization among Israeli Jews, acknowledging a few people who helped us. No financial rewards to disclose, as I like to joke when I present on religion and health, hopefully some spiritual rewards, but no financial rewards. So religion and health, there's a lot of literature actually showing a link between religion and health. Congregational attendance, being part of a religious community, is the strongest measure having a relationship. Generally, it's associated with lower mortality, lower morbidity, can help once you're ill with well-being and coping, both well-being as well as coping, although it can be negative as well. But overall, the literature shows it's overwhelmingly positive. My framework for this is that it can bring people social resources, like being part of any community, but especially religion has been shown to be the largest source of social capital. It can also bring psychological resources, like sense of coherence. Also, there's what I call religious capital, that there's something distinctive about religion. It's not just any other sort of community. There's rituals, there's beliefs, there's meaning in life. So all those together can potentially have a positive impact on health, as well as other mechanisms, and all of these can lead to interventions, which we will talk about. So religion and healthcare utilization. Religion can affect utilization as well as health status through a number of means. It can affect actual and perceived needs through promoting health, promoting attitudes and behaviors which affect health. It can also influence access to and availability of health services. Mundane things like telling people where to go, helping with the transportation, helping them get enrolled in health insurance. It can also influence motivation to seek care in either direction. Some believe it's a religious imperative to take care of your health and, you know, healthy mind, healthy body, healthy soul. But certain religions actually discourage use of doctors, believing that, you know, whatever God gives us is how we should live. So all these can have an effect in either direction, but there is literature showing that there is a potential connection. So specifically about Israeli Jews and health, there's, as I mentioned, a lot of literature about religion and health, but most of it is about Christians, and most of it does show a positive relationship. There's a little bit of a literature about Jews and health, which does show a positive relationship, but really not very much, and even less about utilization and health for Jews. And on a theoretical basis, we might expect that there's denominational differences among different categories of Jews, because there's different demographics of who belongs to a certain category, there's certain infrastructure in terms of synagogues and other organizations, and there's the beliefs and practices themselves, which might influence people to act in a certain way, either negatively or positively. And especially in terms of utilization issues, there might be issues. For example, among certain very religious Jews, there might be stigma in seeking out mental health, that it reflects badly upon your family and your children's marriage prospects, and there's a literature on this. The Israeli healthcare system, I could give a whole talk on that, but I just want to mention in particular what's relevant to our discussion is that there is national health insurance. Everybody there in Israel who's a resident is eligible for free basic care for one of four health plans. So being uninsured is not an issue for people, although there is additional supplemental insurance you could get to enhance the care. But everybody can see a doctor, can get hospitalized, can get mental health, under the current system. And all of these lead to potential policy implications, which I will discuss. So I'm going to be looking at three research questions. First, what is the relationship between religiosity and health status for Israeli Jews? Secondly, what is the relationship between health status and healthcare utilization for this population? And finally, linking these, does the relationship between health status and utilization vary based on religious category? Now, I'll define the category shortly. So the way we're going about and doing this is analyzing the Israel National Health Survey. This was a survey of randomly selected Israelis performed about 10 years ago with a relatively high 71% response rate, all adult Jews, all adults in general. The sample was about 4,000, a relatively large number. There are a lot of health status and utilization variables, so this was an ideal survey to use. And we selected the demographic control variables on a theoretical basis, those which people are identifiable and policymakers can potentially use from a public health point of view to target populations, but also those which are not necessarily influenced by religious identity. And what I mean, for example, more religious families may have very large household size, they may be reluctant to serve in the military, and there's a lot of correlation issues as well as theoretical issues. So we're just focusing on the ones which are not necessarily influenced by health but are true control variables. And these variables are age, gender, ethnicity, education level, and area of residence. There's a five, religiosity is based on self-identified choice of five categories, and we perform descriptive and multi-phase, multivariable analyses. So our health outcome measures are five types of health status. Overall physical health status, there's a five-point scale, and we dichotomized it into either excellent, very good, or good, not good at all. Chronic disease, if they have one of four leading chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, ulcer. By the way, I tend to speak a little bit quickly, so is my speaking too fast for people? No? Okay. Whether they have pain, there's a pain, they asked about several different body parts, overall mental health status, also the same dichotomy, and then a index created from a variety of depression and anxiety symptoms. The utilization measures we had were three, doctor visit, whether they've seen a doctor. This includes a specialist or a dentist or a paraprofessional, which wasn't totally clear what that meant, but I think it's a way of capturing people like chiropractors, podiatrists, or even alternative medicine. Mental health visit was, they asked, did you ever visit a mental health professional? Hospitalization was, what were you hospitalized within the last year? Demographic measures, the first five, I think, are all pretty self-explanatory, but I want to go over the religious categories. For some of you, it's totally alien. For some of you, you might know them already, and you'll probably quibble with my definition, so apologies in advance to both of those categories, but I'm going to try to explain briefly. In Israel, what's called Haredi is sometimes referred to as ultra-Orthodox. Most commonly, you often see them dressed in black, very conservatively. They're least open to modernity. They're often considered the most religious, but I shy away from the term ultra-Orthodox because it's also really theological differences. It's not just that they're more strict about their observance. The next category is what's in Israel called Dati, which translates to religious, but there's several categories of religious, so also I think that's a confusing category. But those are people, again, who might be observant of all the Jewish law and ritual, but more open to modernity and other theological differences. 5 minutes? Okay. Traditional is people who are committed to tradition, but may be observant, may not be observant, and finally secular. So is that somewhat clear to people? Okay. Great. And here's the breakdown of them. The religious actually, despite some perceptions, are in the minority in Israel, but still a healthy number in each category. Some demographic measures, it may jump out as you being bold. I bolded everything that was statistically significant, and everything was statistically significant. So really, you see a lot of demographic differences between the groups. The two things I want to point out are one is the Haredi and to lesser extent are a lot younger, and that there's less females Haredi. I think that's an issue with the sampling. I think not enough to invalidate the study, but something to be aware of, that there seemed to be an undersampling of females. Health status measures, we looked at the five categories, and I think that the take-home message, as you can see, across everything, the Haredis, or what's called the ultra-Orthodox sometimes, are in the best health. Even chronic disease, which was not significant, was at least significant at P less than 0.10. So I think a pretty strong message there. And the Datis were less strongly in better health, but still in better health. Utilization measures, we see doctor visits, however, the reverse. The Haredi go to doctors less hospitalizations. Mental health, they are equivalent to other groups. But you see from the last two that they're more embarrassed to seek help when they have a problem. So there may be certain kinds of mental health issues that they're not seeking help for, even if on a broader measure they're equivalent. So the multivariable analysis, we did three phases. The first was just to look at generally the relationship between religion and health status, using logistic regression, controlling for the variables we spoke about, and producing a predicted probability variable that we could use later. Second was just looking at, is health status related to healthcare utilization? And third, then doing a Bayesian analysis in looking at four different religious groups, given a certain health status, what is their likelihood of seeking healthcare utilization? Okay, so phase one, we found that in four of the five, that the more religious, or the Haredi, were in better health, and this traditional group was in worse health. So all but that last category, which was in the right direction, but not significant. Phase two, we did find a link across every single measure, although one was not fully statistically significant, that people who have a health need or in worse health status do utilize health services, which is probably what you expected, but still never take for granted. And the third, which is really the punchline here, was then to look, okay, so given physical health, given this health status, what is the likelihood that they use health services? And you see the bar on the left is the Haredi community, so even given health status, when they do have a health need, they don't use the health services. So this is for physical health status. Across the three different physical health outcomes we have, to a lesser extent the Dati, but really the Haredi, they're in better health, but they're using health services less when they do have that health need. Mental health status, same story, probably even more strongly, and a little bit more strongly for the Dati, that when they do have a mental health need, they do not use health services. And looking at hospitalization, also same story. And this was to me slightly surprising because mental health and physical health are a little bit subjective when you need to go to the doctor. If you need to go to the hospital, I would have thought you go to the hospital. But even across this measure, we find the Haredi, when they do have a need, they are not going to the hospital. So very brief discussion because I know I'm probably out of time. So I think the message of this is that there really is this variation by category. We see the variations I just discussed. I think an important message for the United States is everybody in Israel, again, has health insurance. So, you know, there's other aspects to access, but this is not an issue that they can't. And so providing everybody with health insurance here is only part of the story of getting people to actually use health services. Why this is, stigma, et cetera, requires more research. There's different implications to this. You could have interventions targeting stigma, involve religious leaders, involve education. So I think there's really a lot that can be done, although really more research in determining what is behind this. There's limitations, which I guess we don't have time for that, so nobody likes to talk about the limitations. But again, I think the gender issue is interesting. But I did the analysis only the males and had similar results. So I think there's potential bias, but it doesn't change the punchline. And that's basically it. So again, religious denomination matters. It's an opportunity to use this in terms of creating interventions to target those groups not needing health services when they need it, but further research is needed. Thank you. The religious leaders are resistant to.
They're the ones that are sending the messages that healthcare is bad. And
can I ask which religion denomination this is?
Well, the primary one that we're having trouble with is one specific Slavic church, but then it's kind of starting to spread.
Right. So I'm not familiar with that church, but at most the teachings, I might try different religious leaders, or if there's a larger organization that might have done some initiative among this, because I'm surprised they're not participating. But I would talk to, if there's a global organization of them to see maybe they can help. And then the other thing is just if there's fellow congregants who are on board with promoting health, you know, there's influence not just from the leaders, but from others of the same faith. So if there's any of those who they're trusting, who you have access to use them as a resource also. My very brief.
I just want to add a comment.
Yes. Yeah.
So you guys are just reading the Bible.
Uh-huh.
We are very Christian. And then you say, you know what, we are missing something in here. We have to start coming to round one, you know, start reading the Bible, we need to get people to realize.
Because, right, exactly.
There's no practice in Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe there's an idea too, if there's some biblical source for why they should get health care, but I'm not familiar enough with that denomination. So thank you for that comment.
Yes, I'd like to actually ask a couple of questions. Is there any chance some of the better health indices would be just underreporting, given that the same people who have these indices don't hurt that much? That's number one. And number two, have you done or are you planning to do any qualitative research to understand what...
Well, that hopefully, yeah. Right. So I would like to do more research on this. I think we need to find some money to do that, so open suggestions afterwards. But absolutely, I think that will be the next phase. And there's people who work with these communities, but I think not on a systematic basis. So I think that's the first step, to work with the people who know these. And the first question again, repeat, sorry.
Oh, if there is a chance, even if the cross-section is
right. Right.
Could be due to the fact that these very practices lead them to see that service, and there's a lot of underdiagnosis of long-term chronic conditions like diabetes, blood pressure, high blood pressure.
Right, so there could be, but even the overall health status, which is self-reported, which doesn't involve you seeing a doctor, but it's possible. And, you know, another possibility is just, you know, the way they perceive these scales might be different, that they have a more optimistic view of life. So there's definitely potential issues there.
That, like a biomarker, like,
this is all self-reported survey, yeah. But that would be very helpful to get that kind of information. So more questions after if people have. Thank you.